Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Pretty remarkable that Greenberg, if you've ever met Neil Greenberg, not the most physically imposing fella. He might know jujitsu or something. I don't know. He might be able to throw you in a pretzel. But he has the absolute hardest walk-up song of all the B. Mitch and Finley regulars. Hello, Greenberg. Happy holidays. Happy New Year, brother.
Happy New Year to you.
Do you know jujitsu?
Actually, I do. When I was in New York, I used to take about 5 jujitsu classes a week.
Wow.
I was into it pretty much.
So hardcore.
Brazilian jiu-jitsu. This was before Brazilian jiu-jitsu really took off. But, yeah, regular jiu-jitsu I did for quite a bit.
I got to be honest. I had no idea. But I meant that.
I actually learned like actual street fighting when I was a kid, when I was like a teenager.
You got in a bunch of street fights, or like you learned street fighting?
Both. I used to fight quite a bit growing up.
Wow.
So the theme song is fitting then.
I've been in a lot of scraps.
Damn. All right. So don't mess with Greenberg. That's what we learned today. My fighting days are over. I'm too old. I could throw a mean club punch. Was probably like the best. My best fighting attribute was the ability to just catch somebody. Anyway, Greenberg, now that we've gone down that road and I've learned you're a ninja, let's get down to business, man. I specifically told Landfill to make sure we had you on this week, even though it's Thursday and not Wednesday, because you deserve a victory lap. I think you were telling us this in like July and August, that you thought there was a good chance Washington outperforms everybody's expectations, and I hope you made some cash on it.
Yeah, it was a good year for me for Washington in terms of outlook. I'd like to think I played a small part in Brian Mitchell wearing a tutu, because I had tweeted a chart that said like the high end for them was 11 wins before the season started, and everyone thought I was a little bit silly. But, there was just a lot of things that the organization was doing right, and I think there was just way too much emphasis put on the past regime, which really had nothing to do with what was happening going forward.
You look at this team going into the playoffs, 3 teams they could possibly face right now. Philadelphia, if they were to drop back to the 7th seed, the Rams or the Buccaneers, if they remain the 6th seed, which matchup do you think is most favorable for Washington?
Probably anybody but Philadelphia. I mean, I think the point spreads would reflect that they were pretty closely matched to Tampa Bay and Los Angeles, probably a 1 or 2 point spread in the home team's favor there. I think Philadelphia would be the only like big lopsided point spread that we would see. I think Washington would be fine in that matchup. I'm not saying that they would be favored to win, but I think that they could, just as they showed against Philadelphia a couple weeks ago, that they can, they can play with the teams that are really good. But obviously avoiding Philadelphia, Detroit in the first round is probably the goal. So I think Los Angeles is probably their best matchup in terms of overall strength. But Tampa Bay, and I said this on the show, like Tampa Bay had a really easy schedule coming into the playoffs. So I don't know if I would be particularly intimidated by Tampa Bay either. So as long as they avoid Philadelphia, I think it's probably a good outlook for them.
I think it's funny. A lot of these guys disagree with me. If I'm calling the shots, and obviously I'm not, I'd prefer playing Tampa over L.A. I think clearly you don't want to have to play Philly. And if you have to, fine. Every team you play in the playoffs is going to be good. So it's not like you like can dodge everybody and get to play St. Francis, But I think maybe it's just being there week one and knowing – maybe it's a symptom of being close to this team and the organization, but I just know how different and how much better this entire team is from week one, and I'd love to see them get another crack at that.
Yeah, like you said, I mean, there's two there's two timelines here, right? There's a timeline where Washington makes the playoffs and everyone's happy, and then there's a timeline that they win a playoff game, and then expectations start to get a little goofy. But I think winning a playoff game this year would be an absolutely huge success story for this organization. I mean, it's already a
Hell
success
yeah.
story. But look, you got to play the teams that are in front of you, and you know, in order to reach the ultimate goal, you're gonna have to get through Philadelphia and or Detroit at some point. But the first step is to win that initial game, and you know, obviously playing against like either the Rams or Tampa Bay makes it easier. I think if Washington has a first round matchup between one of those two teams, I think they move on. I don't know how much further they get past that, but I think this team is more than capable of winning a game in the playoffs. They have the cheat code under center in Jaden Daniels in terms of his ability to pass or run the ball. I think that that's underestimated to some degree, as much as we can underestimate that. So I feel pretty confident for Washington to at least move on one round.
I mean, you mentioned Jaden there. I thought he's been really impressive, specifically the last 2 weeks. But they have had really minimal in the run game, aside from maybe the second half last week. But it's now like a 7-week sample size, where over that course of time, the run game really hasn't been as effective as it was earlier in the season. How important is it to get that back? Or is it something where you think they can still win some football games with the way that Five is playing and maybe move on a couple of rounds, or at least win the wild card round, even if they're not able to get an efficient run game back?
Yeah, I think we have to at this point take it one round at a time in the playoffs, not knowing who the matchup is. But I think Jaden Daniels as being the run game is fine. I think the run game is overrated in the NFL this season because of what we've seen from like Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley. There was a lot of talk early on in the season that like running backs are back and the rushing game is back, etc. Like, you have to win or at least start playing with a lead in order to rush the football the way that you want to rush the football. I think what Daniels gives, obviously, is the uncertainty for the defense, right? Like, what are you, as a defense, like, can you recognize what Washington's going to do? And if not, you know, can you make the adjustments quick enough to stop it? And, you know, is Jaden passing? Is he rushing? Like, there's just so many things that the defense has to take into account now with this Washington offense, and I think that's why it's been so efficient. I don't think anything needs to change. I mean, if they get some rushing help, that's great. They've obviously shown that they can win games with Jaden Daniels doing what he needs to do. So I think that, you know, the formula is fine. It just comes down to, I'd like to see them not always have to play catch-up. Like, that to me is a bigger thing. Like, can Washington get out to an early lead and then hold that lead and just play efficient football on offense like they have all season?
Yeah, you're totally right there. Talking with our friend Neil Greenberg here. You can follow Neil at N Greenberg on Twitter and Instagram, sports writer for the Washington Post, jiu-jitsu expert. What do you make of the Dallas game specifically? Dallas did just beat them, I don't know, 6 weeks ago, and now it's down there. Washington's a 5-point favorite on the road. Dallas looked really good against the Bucs 2 weeks ago, looked really terrible against the Eagles. What do you make of this game? Because maybe it's silly. I think it's really important for them to get one back against Dallas.
Yeah, I think you always want to go into the playoffs on a high note, right? You want to stay healthy first and foremost. If you can avenge that loss against Dallas, I mean, that would certainly help morale. It's certainly better than talking about, you know, limping into the playoffs or however it could be coached in the narrative if they lose. I mean, this game is largely meaningless. Like I said, I think getting everyone out of the game healthy is the absolute number one thing that you want to do. If you can beat Dallas in Dallas, that's great. But just get out of there healthy, get ready. You have bigger fish to fry than avenging a, you know, week 12 loss against Dallas when, you know, you have a chance to win your first playoff game in I don't know how many years. So I think, you know, Washington is obviously the better team. They should win this game. They should have won the last Dallas game, I think. So just play solid football, stay healthy, and just, you know, keep your eyes on the bigger picture, both as from a fan perspective, and obviously I'm sure that's what, you know, the coaching staff is looking at.
Yeah, dude, I agree. It's funny. You might actually know this, Greenberg. Are there Mariota props available? Like, I will not be shocked or mad if we see some Marcus in the second half of this thing, depending on game flow and if it's, you know what I mean? Like, if it's a two-touchdown.
Well, yeah,
like,
your Mariota prop is the under on Jaden Daniels' attempts, right? Like,
that's true. I want 0.5 pass attempts for Mariota, and I want to bang him.
I'm sure you can find that somewhere. You may even be able to find, like, a touchdown prop for him. I don't think that necessarily would surprise me all that much. But there's nothing on Mariota. There's actually no Jaden Daniels prop either right now. My guess is because of exactly what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know, how certain are we that he's going to play the whole game? I don't know if we'll know that until we know what the halftime score is. But yeah, it's an interesting. There's a lot of interesting individual props this week for the last week of the season.
It was kind of a discussion this past week where people were talking about it on national media, looking at what happened with Stroud last year and how good he was, and we thought it was going to be an anomaly. No one was ever going to touch that sort of rookie season for a long time, and then a year later, you have what Jaden has done. How impressive has he been, and how do you think it stacks up with Stroud's season last year?
I think Jaden Daniels has been very impressive. I made an argument that he should deserve MVP MVP consideration early on in the season because of the way he was playing. Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen have since kind of distanced themselves just based on, like, on their team success and also individual success. So I'm not quite sure he's there anymore. But, you know, anytime you're talking about a rookie being an MVP, even a fringe MVP candidate, I think that that's strong. I think this is year one, and year one is obviously ahead of schedule. Let's see what happens in year two, year three, before we can make, like, direct comparisons to C.J. Stroud. But, I mean, this is as phenomenal of a rookie season as you can possibly hope to get on a number of different angles, right? Number one, he was a number two overall pick, lived up to expectations. Everyone in the media is talking about him. He's on highlights every week. He's winning Rookie of the Week awards. And I don't really care, like, how that's tabulated. It means that there is so much overwhelming interest in him winning the award that's the takeaway, right? Like, we can debate the merits of it, but, you know, people see him as the best rookie this season, and that's just not something that this organization has had, right? Like, it hasn't had the excitement factor around it in years, right? I mean, like, there's been nothing. The negative has overwhelmed the positive, you know, previously and now. That's completely flipped. Obviously, it's because Jaden Daniels is at the center of it. Just a phenomenal rookie year, and I would say, you know, from that aspect alone, it's probably better than Stroud's, only because the national hype is so big around Daniels this season.
If you look at Stroud from year one to year two, I know you're big into the numbers and some of those things. What is the issue there? Is it the offensive line? Has Stroud lost some of that efficiency? Just looking ahead, obviously you don't want to get ahead of yourself. You got the playoffs still ahead for Jaden. But going from year one to year two, how does Washington make sure that Daniels doesn't have a similar kind of fall off in year two?
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely had some more interceptions. I mean, his interception count doubled. You know, that's certainly a concern. It's concerned in, like, the macro sense, but, you know, he doesn't really have that much control over some of those. I mean, you look at some of the advanced metrics, and they're not a huge drop-off. I mean, he's had some drop-off in, like, his Pro Football Focus grade, but I wouldn't say it's, like, anything alarming to the point where, you know, we have to write these "What's Wrong with Stroud" think pieces. Even his turnover-worthy plays have been kind of consistent. I think some of it's bad luck. I think some of it is, you know, maybe that sometimes when these guys play so well in year one, there's really no place for them to go in year two, right? I mean, you look at You know, he had a league low interception rate last year. You know, we typically see that even out the following year. So I just think it's just a little bit of a blip. I mean, I think I couldn't tell you who's going to have the better career necessarily, but I think Stroud has been the victim of some bad luck. And, you know, we're probably talking about this miraculous turnaround for him next season when, you know, everything, all the underlying numbers still look the same.
Talking with our friend Neil Greenberg, sports writer, Washington Post, stats, analytics, fantasy, betting, all that stuff. Greenberg, who's your NFL MVP?
That's a great question. I've been trying to figure that out. I think that it's, for me, analytically, it's too close to call between Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. I think anyone that tells you like they have a definitive answer to that is just letting their own narratives like kind of guide them. I mean, it comes down to what do you define the word valuable to mean? Is it the best player on the best team? Is it the player having the best offensive season? Is it the player that like most directly contributing to wins? And then how do you define that? So that for me though, I think it's Lamar Jackson only because I think he's been more consistent than Allen during the whole course of the year.
His numbers are just bananas.
But I can't talk crazy anybody out of Josh Allen either. Like, there's nothing for me analytically to say, you know, Josh Allen shouldn't be the MVP because of this. There's so much context around both of their performances in terms of their, you know, in terms of their, like, supporting cast, et cetera. Like, there's no clear cut. I'd be happy if either one of them won, and I couldn't talk you out of the other if I want to. But for me, it's Lamar Jackson by a little bit. But again, if you wanted to say it's Josh Allen, I mean, I'm not going to jujitsu you for it.
If the Bengals find a way, if the Bengals find a way in, does Joe Burrow re-enter that conversation?
You know, yeah, I think
he should be
Burrow
in it regardless.
And Goff are both like these two guys that are probably should be in the mix, but we don't talk about them. And again, it comes down to like, what's your narrative story, or like what is it that's important to you when it comes to, you know, looking at an MVP candidate? Is it, you know, overwhelming wins? Is it, you know, supporting cast? Is it, like, clutch play? Like, you know, there's so many different things that go into it. You know, yeah, I think that you can absolutely make a case. And I wouldn't be surprised if some local voters, like, give their guys votes because I think it's justified, right? Like, we've seen some votes get cast for access reasons, or at least my interpretation of that, like to keep goodwill going. But I do think that, you know, you can make a legitimate case for a lot of players in this mix. So yeah, I mean, it's tough, but it wouldn't surprise me. I don't think that they'll
win.
You
get a vote?
I'm not allowed to vote. Washington Post.
Oh, that's a post thing,
right? Vote for end of season awards. I don't get a vote, but I wouldn't be able to vote even if I did.
The Washington Post, the newspaper of my life. I think that's a dumb rule. Sorry. But regardless, I think Lamar's had the best season outside. I think Burrow's had the best season.
Yeah.
I think they got to fire that Bengals coach. How he handled the end of the Denver game is some of the worst time ever seen. And
yeah,
you've got a ball club there that's going to have at least statistically the best quarterback in the NFL, the best receiver in the NFL, and the sack leader in the NFL, and you're not going to make the playoffs. Like, something got to give here, brother. Greenberg, I always appreciate your time, man. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And also, I need a VIP pass for the Tally-Ho event.
Okay, I think we can make that happen. All right. Cluster Buster, if you're listening, let's get Greenberg a pass. You live out that way now, right?
I am very close.
Okay.
I'm not going to dox myself, but I'm close.
Yeah, don't dox yourself. But, yeah, dude, you're in. Now, Neil, this may shock you. I'm not very good at remembering things. So if possible, maybe just shoot me a text or reminder that week, but I'll make sure it happens.
Or we can have a jiu-jitsu instruction with Neil Greenberg.
Yeah, I'll come flying in ninja style through the window.
thank you, buddy. Appreciate you, Greenberg. We'll get you on the list.
All right, happy New Year to everybody. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, that's our boy Neil Greenberg. Greenberg's talking about wanting to come to the Tally Ho event. The event is 106.7 The Fan Live. You can join all of us for a special live show. The Junks, me and B, Grant and Danny. We will shed our FCC restrictions for a totally uncensored discussion of DC sports. Toby, off the record, I gotta maintain. I gotta behave myself. They want me to shed my restrictions. Get a little dangerous.
There's still gonna be some cameras.
It should be fun. Yeah, apparently there's gonna be special guests. Maybe one of them is Neil Greenberg. It should be a blast. I think it's the week before the Super Bowl, January 31st. Hang out with all of us for a night of sports, laughs, fun. Tickets are on sale now at tallyhotheater.com. Nobody go anywhere. It's B. Mitchell Finley. B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. I'm going to try to do something that we may not be capable of doing, frankly. Mark Seagraves is a reporter for NBC4. And Seagraves covers the city very well. He is very locked in with the Bowser administration, I would say, the mayor of D.C. Now, I was unaware of any of this, okay? And if I had to guess these two people probably have a lot to discuss, okay?
A few things, yeah.
I only want to talk about one thing they talked about, which I think is incredibly cool, regardless of the people involved. I'm reading now from Mark Seagraves' Twitter account. You can follow Mark at Seagraves NBC4, SEGRAVES NBC4. I'm reading. Don't kill the messenger, Toby. All right? While Mayor Bowser was tight-lipped on details about her meeting with real Donald Trump, Bowser did say she and the president-elect did talk about Jaden Daniels. Bowser said Trump was well aware of Jaden Daniels and why he should be Rookie of the Year and possibly the MVP. I want to be crystal clear. I'm not doing politics. I think it's really cool that the president-elect, whoever, is watching Jaden and thinks he's awesome.
Yeah. It's pretty cool.
Biden, Trump, whoever. Jimmy Carter, whoever was in on
it does not matter.
Like, just to have one of the quarterbacks that is that high on the national radar is pretty damn cool.
Yeah, I mean, one of the dudes that people are sitting down to watch, people with things to do that ultimately really matter and affect our country, are sitting down to watch Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, like, these people are probably pretty busy, probably don't get to watch that much football. And if, like, I watched West Wing back in the day, you were probably not even born. But I remember, what was his name, Landfill? How am I blanking on this? It was Jeb something, wasn't it? Martin Sheen's character. God, I can't remember his last name. But regardless, there was this one episode that he made. Jeb Bartlett, that's what it was. He made a big deal. He's like, I want to watch one live sporting event. And it was like the middle of the night, and it was like UCLA versus Cal women's softball. But he locked in because he just wanted to watch one live sporting event. Like, these people are busy. They probably don't have a ton of time. And Jaden Daniels is still on their radar.
Yeah.
That, to me, is really neat.
Yeah, I mean, he's one of the dudes that's now must-watch TV. You saw the numbers from Sunday Night Football. Like, people are excited to watch Jaden. And when's the last time that this team, really since 2012, right, this team hasn't had a quarterback that people would sit down to watch because they knew it was going to be a show every time he took the field?
Well, and the one thing I have been saying for some time is 2012 was incredible and a rocket ship, and it was so fun to watch Robert before things started going sideways. But it was kind of gimmicky the whole time. And you knew that, right? Like, all right, they're doing something different than everybody else is doing. What Jaden is doing now, not to call it normal, because clearly he's outperforming normal, but like, he wins in the pocket and runs a little bit.
Yeah.
That's what a lot of quarterbacks do.
Well,
they just don't do it as well as he does.
That's what makes this year so impressive to me is you have Jaden Daniels breaking Robert's record, right, for most rushing yards by a rookie quarterback when Robert relied on that. Jaden doesn't rely on it. He can do it, and he does a lot of it. Obviously, for Sunday night, he needed over 100 yards rushing to get it done. But he can be a pocket passer. I don't know that he's on the elite level there yet, but he's still a good pocket passer who can run, and he sets the record. He passes Robert, who lived off the run game. Like, that's what they had to do, and they have, like, we just talked with Neil Greenberg, talking about how they haven't had an effective running game with their running backs, and yet Jaden has just pulled out a cape, turned into Superman the last two games, and found a way to get it done. It's been so cool to watch this dude, and you're right. I mean, this is a a model that seems sustainable. You know, you want to have some continuity year to year. So, you know, hopefully Cliff is back next year and some of these things. But this seems like something that it's not gimmicky. It's not Cam Taylor-Britt called it a college offense earlier this year. And a lot of people took that as an offensive thing. I don't even care if he's running a college offense. It's working. Right, like, and it's stuff that
nobody cared that Todd Monken came from Georgia to Baltimore, and that offense looks significantly better than it has.
And that to me is like, you know, why couldn't Jaden continue doing this? Because you're looking at a guy up the road that's still doing it, and he's getting better every year, right? Lamar, why can't Jaden do it? And coming out as prospects, Jaden's a better passer than Lamar was coming out. Not saying he's a better passer right now, but when they're coming out, and Lamar's had a heck of a career. We know that. So there's no reason that you can't continue to have this sort of success, and it's only going to get better because Jaden's gotten better. As the year has gone on, you can only imagine what a full offseason, understanding what he's seeing, what he has seen, and what he's going to see. It's just so exciting to think about what he can continue to be, and he's already one of the best quarterbacks. And people were talking about it the other day. PFF had something that's saying he might already be the best quarterback in the NFC. Maybe that's a little too early, maybe, but I mean, there's not many guys you take over him in the NFC.
Remember, you wanted Drake May?
I've owned this, JP. I have owned this. But hold on. I said every time that I said this.
Our program was very clear, all Jaden.
You were very Jaden, yes, and obviously correct.
I still like Drake. That was just a jab.
No. I'm just saying every time that I said that, for the record, I said I'm good with either one. And I think any of them can be franchise guys.
Sure. I think Drake could play too. We'll see what happens with Caleb.
How wild, by the way, that all these dudes seem like they could be dudes, and the one that might have gotten it wrong with Chicago.
Yeah, it's going to be fascinating to watch. We have Sean Sharif joining us at noon. You're going to hear from Joe Witt and Cliff Kingsbury sometime in the next hour. Some of these times are a little fluid, I think is the term. I did want to look at this real quick. Think about, so everybody gets so caught up in strength of schedule and all this stuff, right? Basically, of 17 games, an NFC East team plays the same 14 opponents. Strength of schedule outside of your division is largely a myth. Like, there's three other games that are decided on where you finish in the division. Now, they've kind of changed the rules on this. The rule used to be that you could have a max of 5 primetime games, any NFL team. We now know Jaden Daniels, the eyeballs he brings, the type of people that are paying attention. Listen to the road schedule next year. Mm. Obviously, Dallas, New York, Philly, all big games. NFC East games always crush it in primetime. At Minnesota, Vikings are damn good. At the Chargers, another playoff team. Oh, I don't know. How about a road trip to Lambeau? You think they might want to put that under the lights? Oh, and by the way, Washington's going to Arrowhead to take on the Chiefs. Like, dude, it almost feels like I suppose it could be any of these teams, but if Green Bay, KC, I don't think the Chargers, but Minnesota, Philly, if any of them won the Super Bowl, you know how the Thursday night opener is the Super Bowl winner at home?
Oh, yeah.
Would that shock you if it was Washington versus any of those teams?
No, absolutely not.
Like, that's the stratosphere they're in.
Yeah, well, and you're thinking they're probably going to send this team overseas next year for one of these international games. They're going to have Sunday night football, Thursday night football, Monday night football. This is something where they're going to – I mean, we talked about when Christmas was happening. Christmas is on a Thursday next year,
right.
So it's right in the normal schedule. You're telling me one of those games might not work its way into the Christmas schedule?
Home games, you still have, obviously, Cowboys, Giants, Eagles. You get the Lions and the Broncos here. Now, you also get the Bears and the Raiders, which kind of sucks. I feel like the Bears come here every year.
It really feels like they play them every year.
And then just to finish it out, so they'll get three other teams that finish second in their division. So they get an NFC. They'll only have 8 home games next year because they had 9 this year. They'll get the NFC West in Landover. So who's second in the NFC West? So
right now, Seattle.
It'll be Seattle. It's kind of a cool game. Drab will be fired up. Gets to watch the Seahawks here in Washington.
Yeah.
They get the second place team in the NFC South there. So that is Atlanta, right? Yeah. So there's going to be a road trip to Atlanta, which has my full support. Shout out to Bones Steakhouse. I'll see you there. And then second place in the AFC East. Who is that? The Dolphins?
Dolphins, I think, right? Not sure.
The AFC East sucks. Yo, that's the Dolphins. That ain't two bad road games we just picked up, Tobo.
No.
At Atlanta, at Miami?
No.
Take that all damn
no.
day. Sean Sharif joins us at noon. B. Mitch Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Commanders defensive coordinator Joe Witt speaking to the media now.
Just talk about last week's game just for a second, then we'll get going. Got some meetings I got to get to, so let's see if we can get this thing quickly. You know, it was good to get the win. I didn't necessarily start the right way, but made some adjustments and got the guys playing better in the second half. Like I said, it's always good to get the win. It was good. It would have been better. And, I sort of sounded like a broken record a little bit. We didn't get it, you know, that 4th and 13. In the call that we wanted to get into, the ball should not be able to be thrown in the interior two. The ball should have to go outside. Quarterback made a hell of a throw. All right. Tight end made a nice catch. And so we got to make sure we play it better. But 11 wins, that's where we are. See if we can get 12 this week against Dallas. You know, they came in here a couple weeks ago. That's our last loss. And they beat us. They played hard and you know, they came in and did what they needed to do. So hopefully we go down and make sure we take care of our business and do what we need to do.
What kind of impact did you feel John Allen made? It looked like you guys were able to use more of those three D-tackle alignments in the second half, too.
But yeah, you know, in the second half, that's the first thing we did. We used the three tackles to shore up the run. We needed bigger bodies out there, and that's what we did. The D-line, they played, you know, up and down from the standpoint of our aiming points and hitting our blocks, you know, and being aligned where exactly the defense tells us to be aligned. So I don't necessarily want to talk about, you know, JA in particular, but as a group, that's what we got to make sure we do.
And you guys have received some contributions this year from guys like Jalen Holmes, Sheldon Day, mm-hmm. Noah, and all that, guys maybe who weren't expected to be big-time players. What can you say about that group, and what does it add when you get guys coming like that who make contributions the way they have?
Yeah, we talked about from day one rolling with a deep crew. And, you know, as a coach, and I think back to my, you know, first time really coaching when I was coaching at the Citadel Receivers, and I had a true freshman walk-on that played. I don't care about, you know, who gets paid what and where you come from. As long as you're on the team and if you produce and you practice better than the other guy, you're going to go out there and play, all right, unless somebody comes and tells me, hey, this guy's going to play. And that rarely happens. And so – you know, Noah's played well, Sheldon, Jalen, those guys. Carl, when he had his opportunities, I thought he, you know, he really hit blocks, and, you know, and the run production was lower when he was playing. I thought he played really well. And so, you know, we roll with a deep crew, and that's the reason. And everybody that goes out there has a role, and they're owning their roles. Yeah.
Obviously, no Marshawn last week, so just curious, what did you think of the cornerback play without him and how those guys adjusted to that?
You know, it was, I guess, about like the D-line. It was a little bit, you know, inconsistent. You know, we're going to work a rotation this week, and if we have Marshawn, that'll be great. If we don't, we'll have a couple guys that we'll give a look to and try to do some things coverage-wise. But like I said, until you stop the run, it's hard to do things outside from a coverage standpoint, and we got to do a better job of stopping the run, and that will help everybody else.
To that end, since you mentioned the run, how surprised are you that it has still been an ongoing issue this deep into the season?
I don't know about surprise, but I'm not happy about it. I'll tell you that. We need to get it fixed. You know, playoff football, you have to stop the run. You have to run the ball and stop the run.
I'm not even going to try to pronounce his last name, but how do you think Noah has done just in moving in the slot and just his play overall?
Noah's played really solid all year. I mean, he's played physical. He's sticky in coverage. You know, he has a couple fouls that he has to get out. He grabs sometimes when he doesn't need to. He's always been in good position. He had the interception taken away last Dallas game, and then he should have had another one, probably that game as well. But I think he's played really, really well inside, and he's given us the ability to keep Mikey outside as well because of the physicality and how he's played.
And I know Frankie and Bobby are true vets. But have you seen ways in which their time together has actually improved their play together on the field?
Well, I think they play as a a unit. You know, those two guys play off each other. They can look at each other and understand what they want to do, especially with all the pick games and the different ways that we run them. I give them the freedom to, on some of our pressures, if they want to change who shows down and who's going to pick and who's, you know, I give them the freedom to change it up, and they do a nice job. And so they're not selfish because, you know, the guy that will be getting free for the sack, they switch that up. They're never selfish about who that person is going to be. So they work as a tandem.
What are your main focuses right now to improve against the run?
The main focus? Making sure that we're aligned exactly where we're supposed to. We're staying in front of blocks, okay? If we're getting swap runs, we understand if it's going to a 2x2 to a 3x1, we're in our gaps, okay? We're not allowing fast motion to get us out of our gaps. And then on the edges, if it's a crack replace, we're replacing. We're not staying back there deep. We're coming up with great eye control. So it is not that difficult. We just got to get it done, okay? We got to get it done. We got to play the run like we've been playing the pass.
What do you make of the Cowboys' offense? It looks a little bit different since the last time you guys played them.
In what regard?
Losing CD and a couple other plays.
And what do you mean? What I make of it?
I guess, you know, what do you see from them on tape? How have they adjusted to?
They put Terp in CD's role. Terp is, you know, he saw what he did on the kickoff return against us last time. He's fast. He's tough. He can run routes. I thought. He's a guy that, you know, when we were there in the past, that could be used more. You know, I like Terp a lot. And now they didn't have Brandon last time. They have Brandon. He's a guy that's very fast and, you know, can catch the ball right now, run screens, get vertical, can stretch the defense. So they have those guys on the perimeter that can do those. And then Rico's running the ball really, really hard. He's running hard, running violent. They have Tyler Smith back, who I think is one of the best guards in football. He's back. He didn't play against us last time, so they pull him a lot, and then they get able to get Rico behind him. So, you know, they're gonna come in and run Mike's offense and do what they do. It's not gonna be. We don't know which quarterback we'll get, but we'll figure it out when we see him.
Hey, good afternoon, Coach.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good.
I know there's different schools of thought on this. Do you believe in momentum?
In what regard?
Winning the game heading into the playoffs.
Yes, I do.
How important is that to you?
You know, when I was fortunate enough to win a Super Bowl, we won our last two games, and then we went on and won. You know, I think it's important. I think you know, but at the same time, when you get into the next tournament, all right, you'll handle each game at a time, but you always want to go in with a win. Like, you just – positive vibes comes with winning, you know what I'm saying? And so I think it's important for us to do that.
Forced to do that, Joe Witt, Commander's defense coordinator. God, I love listening to that dude talk. Just the most no-nonsense dude there is. Listen, man, he's not happy.
mean, when he's asked about the run, he's like, are you surprised? No.
I'm pissed. Sean Sharif joins us next.